Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 122. You know, sometimes you just gotta curl up in bed and binge watch Netflix. You know what I mean?
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help you achieve jazz piano freedom so that you can express your true inner soul and emotions instead of having to copy what others have shown you. Now, we do this by providing structured and organized jazz piano education on specific jazz piano tools that you can then take and use over any tune so that you have complete jazz piano freedom. My name is Brendan Lowe. I'm your host as always, and thank you so much for joining me. This is going to be episode number 122. This is going to be Accompanying Singers, part one, the two-feel bass line. All right. So, you know, I just got to say to start off, it feels good. It feels good to be doing a podcast again. Obviously, you can tell the past couple weeks have been crazy. I always try. My goal when I first started the podcast was always to release a podcast every week. Now, that gets rough. You guys know life gets in the way. And honestly, like when I'm trying to do like 1,000 things, I mean, it feels good, you know, just to take a break. It's hard to actually like do these podcasts every single week and come out, you know, and be my best. You know, I'm only human, obviously. And, you know, sometimes I have hard weeks. I have rough weeks. You know, I just want to lay in bed and I just want to eat ice cream and just binge watch Netflix. You know what I mean? I'm a person. Okay. So it's like, man, it takes a lot. It takes a lot. But my dedication to the music and to helping others obviously, you know, trumps anything that I want to do for myself. But, you know, sometimes obviously that takes over. But my main point right now is it feels good to actually be here talking to you guys. And I'm renewed. I'm rejuvenated because of the things I'm about to tell you. So we have a lot of new, fun, exciting things going on. We've recently just moved all the jazz piano education over to a new course platform. Now, our website was pretty good. You know, I worked hard on that. There's a lot of design things that are nice about the website, but functionally for a user, it wasn't the best. And I completely understood that. And we do have a custom website being built right now that's in the process. But as an intermittent solution, we've moved all of our education over to a new platform that's absolutely fantastic. And so many new members. We're going to be moving all of our current members over to within the next week or two here. So they're going to get to experience the new navigational systems. We're going to be putting all the backing tracks from iReal Pro directly into that, all the notation into there. It's going to be absolutely fantastic. And I think people are going to love it. And people already do love it, actually, for the people that have switched over. So that's an awesome thing that's happening. All of our courses in education will be on there. All of my teaching will be on there through the main course, the specialty courses, and the JPS Lab. So again, for all the new people out there, we have three main sections. We have our Big Kahuna, the JPS course, the main course curriculum, which is the ultimate roadmap to learning jazz piano. If you're trying to learn everything jazz piano and just learn how to play tunes, learn how to solo, you're looking for groups, ballads, intros, outros, all this great stuff, comping, two-hand voicings. It took me 3 to 4 years to build that. That is our main course curriculum. That is our higher ticket item. You know, that's going to give you everything you possibly need. If you're looking for more specialty attention, we have the specialty courses, which will be the solo piano system, and newly coming will be the singer accompany course. And that's why in the next couple weeks, I'm going to be doing a 4-part series until we release and launch the singer accompany course on all the different parts, actually, and giving you teasers about the education that's going to be in how to accompany singers, because the education is absolutely fantastic, if I do say so myself. I've honestly created and put together a system, a systematic formula for accompany singers. And I don't think there's honestly anything out there that's like this at all anywhere. Okay. It's actually my, you know, patented trademark formula for accompany singers. And basically, I mean, it's going to blow your minds. It is, you know, very, very easily understood and comprehensible. And at the same time, it's going to give you a great, great sound, accompaniment sound for singers. So I'm super excited. I'm rejuvenated. We have all that stuff going. And then after that, we're going to be launching more specialty courses for you, improv, beginner specialty course, and a lot of other great other things as well. So obviously, besides that, we have the JPS Lab available, which is more instant upgrade formulas for small areas of your playing with more innovative and interactive ways to learn and educate yourself through our artist highlight area, our gig analysis, the upgrade formulas, and basically a whole lot of other good stuff. So whew, wow, sorry, that was a lot. You know, I'm just like flying right now. I do talk fast mostly all the time, but I don't know, today's one of those days where I'm just flying again. So I think that's it. With that all being said, okay, so let me see, this is going to be a 4-part series, right? So if you are interested actually in learning about the singer launch, right? So we're launching this specialty course. It's going to be how to accompany singers. It's going to be all types of singers, all types of music, pop, rock, jazz, Latin, bossas, grooves, gospel, dirty swing, everything. It's going to be how to accompany singers in all the different types of areas. If you are interested in learning about that, just go to jazzpianoschool.com/singers. Okay, jazzpianoschool.com/singers. And simply get on the waiting list and you will be provided with more information about the release date of this specialty course, how you can purchase the program and how, what the price is going to be, all the good stuff, the details, the bonuses we're going to be releasing and stuff like that. I'm going to tell you again, I've gone into the studio. I just did half of my studio sessions with vocalists. There's going to be vocal backing tracks for all the different types of singers. So you can get a different taste of all these different types of singers, their styles, their genres, you know, because obviously you're not going to be playing with one singer at a time. You're going to get a lot of different singers, a lot of different personalities, right? So that's what I wanted to kind of bring you through, the vocal backup tracks that you're going to be available to use to practice with all the different, through all the different education, all the different styles. So super, super awesome. I got one more recording session to do with a lot of different other singers as well. So man, just a lot of fun. I love it. I love it. All right. So yeah, jazzpianoschool.com/singers to get on the waiting list for more information on our release date and launch date for how to accompany singers specialty course. Okay. So with that being said, let's dive right into this episode. All right, so the first thing I'm going to be teaching you guys and showing you guys here today is basically going to be about the two feel on the bass. So a lot of times when we kick bass, right, what we want to do is we just want to walk. We just want to walk bass, right? So if we're playing a tune, let me see what's a good tune. You know, If I Were a Bell, right? I use that one a lot. You know, you might just start off with, right? You know, stuff like that, just walking bass, or, you know, what's another tune? All the Things You Are, right? And that's basically, I have a lot of reverb on my piano right now. I got to change that. That's basically how people accompany singers, like for the most of the time. And I had a singer basically, hey, can you call me up for a gig? Hey, can you accompany me and can you walk bass? Like, well, yeah, sure. But basically that's not the best way. You know, that's not the most interesting way. Like, I can do that all the time, but there's so many great ways that can help accompany singers. Now the bass two feel is basically, instead of feeling quarter notes, boom, 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 right? If I'm walking, right, you're feeling every single quarter note pulse. With the two feel, you're only feeling two pulses. You're feeling one, two, one, two, instead of one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. Here's a demonstration. Right, that's a two feel. You're feeling doom, doom, doom. So you're feeling a beat on one and three. But the reason they call it a two feel is because there's the pulse is only two beats, one and three, right? That's two pulses, one, two, three, one, three. So that is a two bass feel. That's what I'm going to be working with you today. So the first way to start out doing this is basically just, we want to just really emphasize the beat one and three of our bass line, right? Now, in between this, obviously, we have comping, but the first thing we want to start out with is our left hand. So one, two, three, four, one, two, three, four. And we can do this a lot of different ways. The first way I would recommend starting is just ones and fives or octaves. So we can go octave. And that's how I'd practice this too. Obviously, there's going to be a lot of different exercises and things like that in the singer and company course. But basically, this is the first way I'd practice it. Practice all your octaves with any tune that you're trying to learn. So if I'm doing All the Things You Are, so here's my two feel. Whoops, sorry, I didn't do octave there. So when you have two chords per measure, right? That's what hung me up there for a second. You have D flat, G, C. Basically, you're just skipping right to the next chord in that measure, okay? So that's octaves. Now we practice fifths. So a fifth of a chord leading into the next chord usually will always be an approach note into that next chord if the chords are set up sequentially kind of in a 2-5 or a 5-1 pattern, right? So if we go 1-2-3-4, all these chords are basically resolving down by a fifth in this pattern. Obviously, if you have A flat to a B flat going 1-5, you're not going to be approaching down by a chord scale above, right? Here from C minor to F, we're approaching from a chord scale above with the G. Here's the C to B flat, right? F to E flat. But again, when the chords are out of sequence in a more modern composition, that's not going to be the case, but we can still use those fifths to approach those notes, or I'm going to teach you some other methods as well, okay? So the chord scale above is the best way, and again, this happens to be the way the fifths approach your notes. And again, in a 2-5-1, that's a really great way to do it. Now, just like I said, if you have chords that are all over the place, A flat major, B7, maybe to F major 7, sharp 11, going to E flat 7 or E flat sus, right? You can use chord scale above, which is essentially just using the note from the chord scale of the chord you're going to. So if you're in an A flat major, right, this might be the 1 or the tonic. So this would be an A flat major scale. You're simply going to use the B flat to approach the A flat, right? Since this is the starting chord, I'm simply going to start on the 1. I'm going to a B7. Okay, so chord scale above in this case would be a C sharp. So I'd go A flat, right? And then my next chord was F, right? So I'm going to F major 7. Okay, and then my next chord was E flat. So actually F is my next chord scale above note going to E flat. So chord scale above notes are definitely, you know, these are bebop approach notes, but they can use and be in bass notes as well. The other way we can approach notes through our two-feel bass note is with half steps below. So I can use half step below walking up to a B7, approaching the F from a half step below, and approaching the E flat from a half step below. Now again, obviously it sounds kind of out, it sounds a little strange, and that's because of the compositions. Now, when you're playing a more modern composition, right? You know, they're gonna sound kind of out. But again, as you start to connect things, it sounds a little bit better. And as you can see, if I walk E flat all the way up until the point I switch my chord, it's going to sound a little bit better. I added that C sharp in as a chord scale above. But anyway, that's getting into more of a two feel for modern tunes, which isn't exactly what I was wanting to teach you guys today. So back to our all the things you are, right? Going from octaves, now we can go fifths, fifth, 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 root, right? Fifth, root, fifth, right? Okay. So again, that's basically how we use octaves and fifths. Now we can combine them for our two feel. So I can you choose an octave, root. Maybe I use a fifth now. Root, octave, root. Now I'm going to use a fifth again. Fifth, root, fifth, root, right, for the chord. Octave, that's off the camera there, but down to C, right? So you can combine both your left-hand octaves in fifths to get that two feel. Here's just my left hand alone. I'm just switching up my octaves in my fifths. Right? This is going on. Right? So just switching it up, octaves, fifths, octave, fifths. Now, again, you can use here half step below. So I could go, maybe I go to a chord scale above now, or a fifth, right? Maybe I go back to half step below. Maybe I go to octave now. Maybe I go to half step below, half step below again. So these are all the different methods and ways that you can start to combine, get a two-feel bass line happening in your left hand. These are very simple approaches, right? So that's the first step. Just to break this down a little bit further to review, you have octaves, you have fifths, you have chord scale above, you have half step below. That's four different ways you should be isolating and practicing in your left hand two-feel bass line. Okay? So once you've done this, then you start to combine those components in separate ways, right? Combine two of them, combine three of them, combine two different ones, right? And you start to get this little two-feel bassline walking line, right? And I'm only playing on one and three now. Okay, now if I revert back to kind of more of a more interesting two-feel bass line, it might sound like this. Now, what was I doing there that's different, right? We have a bunch of different types of stabs, movements, and lead-ins, okay? And these different types of harmonies are going to lead me into the next part two's lesson of our left hand, kind of, getting into my what I call the switch and more of an active role, playing an active role. But just to keep things simple for this part one, this first lead-in here, right? So I go one, two, three, four, one. So the rhythm of one, three, four, one adds movement into our two feel. We can't just have one and three, otherwise that's going to sound like a march, right? If I just play one, three, one, three, one, that's super boring. It doesn't contain the rhythmic value of jazz, right? So I need to add these little types of movements. One, two, three, four, one. So I'm just using one rhythm right now. That's one, three, four, one. Okay, so one. Now the voicings or notes we can use with these can be combinations of all the different things we've just isolated. Does that make sense? So we can use octave, chord scale above, root. Or I can go octave, fifth, half step below, root. I can go octave, fifth, root, fifth, octave. Right, so I can go one, two, three, four, one. So I'm combining all the other components we've just previously worked on to make up that rhythm. One, three, four, one, right? Now, obviously, you don't want to use that exact rhythm for the entire two-feel bass line. That's where more other rhythms come into play, like switching it up, right? That's another rhythm right there. One, two, three, four, and one. One, two, three, four, and one, two. Okay, so just the act of adding this. So one, two, three, four, and one. One, two, three, four, and one. So those little and ones, and I'm going to show you another one in a second, those little ands, right, really kick things into drive. Obviously, you can hear it's a little kick in the butt, right? It's like doom, doom, ba-doom, right? You'll hear that on a bass player. Doom, doom, ba-doom, doom, ga-doom, ga-doom, ga-doom. They're adding in all these little ands. Da-doom, 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 da-doom. That kicks things into motion. It's like driving, the driving force behind bass lines. And obviously, we're creating a two feel, but we don't want it to be so stagnant. We're just playing ones and threes. We need to add those little ands, right? So one, two, or excuse me, three, four, and one, right? So adding, before I was isolating the one, two, three, four, and one, but when we combine both of the rhythms I just showed you, remember I showed you one, two, three, four, and one. I also showed you one, two, three, four, one. Okay, but when you combine that, we're going to get this. One, two, three, four, and one. So we're combining both of them now. One, two, three, four, and one. Right, you see that? Okay, these are all different ways we can start to add different types of rhythmic values, approaches, and things like that into our left-hand two-feel bass line so that when we're comping, right? It's not just stagnant. It's not just one, three, one, three. Okay, do you see that? So we got a lot of different factors. We have two knobs, basically, we're turning and playing with. We have the voicing or approach knob for the different types of notes we're playing. So again, we can use octaves, fifths, chord scale above, half step below. I'd stick to that for now. That's a lot. That's one knob we can turn. Let's say we turn it to octave, okay? Then we have another knob, which is rhythm, right? So I've only taught you three different rhythms, one combo, right? So the first rhythm's one, two, three, four, one. Second rhythm's going to be one, two, three, four, and one. The third rhythm is a combination of both. One, two, three, four, and one. Okay? Now, obviously, we don't have to have the rhythmic value be after three all the time. I'm going to go a step further here. We can have the rhythmic value be before three. So we can go one, two, and three, four, one. One, two, and three, four, one. Right? You see that? One, two, and three. Or I could go, one and two, three, four, one. One and two, three, four, one. Now that's more of an advanced rhythm, right? One and two, three, four, and one. You know, something like that, right? But again, I don't want to get too crazy with it. If you want, just stick to the rhythms after beat three, right? Again, that I first taught you without doing any rhythms before beat three. If you're more of an advanced player, you can start to mess around with both. You can do the rhythms before beat two, before beat three, and after beat three. So sometimes I do both. I might go one, two, and three, and four, and one, right? One and two, three, four, and one. Now that's getting very close into actually walking bass, but still contains the two feel because you're not actually walking every single quarter note beat. And that's where the fun starts to happen because you can start to mess around with that more. So with that point being just said, I'm going to lead into the last portion of this, almost last portion, but is more of an improv type bass line. This is getting into a teaser for the active roll section. Now for your two feel, I can actually have my left hand play more of a line. You know, boom, 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 boom. That's more taking like a lead in my accompaniment rather than just having it be walking bass, right? So I can actually create improv lines with my left hand while my right hand holds a chord. And I'm going to explain all of this in parts two, three, and four of how to accompany singers. And again, all of this is going to be in our launch and release of our singer accompany course in the next month in June. And again, if you're interested in getting on the release date and release information for that, just go to jazzpianoschool.com/singers, okay? But again, my left hand can take a active role in my comping, right? So it can go, right? See how much movement and life is happening in my left hand? Now, am I going to use this all the time? No, right? You need to always, always, always have a balance and contrast between all the different textures and methods I'm showing you here. That's what's going to sound the best. So I can't just use this all the time, right? I can't be doing this, all this stuff. The singer's going to look at me and be like, what the heck are you doing? Like, that's crazy, right? So we can't do that. So but the point is, if you add small little trace amounts, little bits of amounts of this kind of small improv line into your two feel, it's going to sound fantastic. Now, how do we start to actually start to implement that? Go slowly and pick spots where you can actually play a line. Now, the first thing to do is actually you need to solidify the harmony. You're going to do that with your right hand by just playing the downbeat. So the way to practice this is to play all downbeats with your right hand. So I'm going to play one, right? And then once you land, okay, this is getting into more complex stuff called the switch, what I call, I've deemed the switch. But you can play your next chord with your right hand. So I might go, so you're actually not finishing your line, because if you do, your left hand's going to take over as the anchor. We don't want that. We want our right hand to be the anchor by playing the downbeat. So see what happens. I'll give you a little teaser into the switch. Is if my left hand plays the downbeat, my left hand will now be the anchor. My right hand is now the active role, which I'm going to be teaching in these upcoming podcast parts. So if I go, right, see how my active role is switching back and forth? We don't want that just yet. I don't want to teach you guys that yet. So your right hand is going to be the anchor all the time to practice your left hand improv line. You can play anything in your left hand. I'm basically outlining the chords for the most part. I'm improvising with my left hand. I'm using 5/7. I'm using approach note. I'm using diatonic walking. Again, it's basically all diatonic lines in made up rhythms, whatever you want to do, right? I love using quarter note triplets. That's a really cool rhythm to use, right? So do. I love the quarter note triplet feel. You'll hear Gerald Clayton use this a lot. He does this with his bass lines a lot. Again, if you can use more, right? You can do lines like that. You know, whatever it is, you know, depending upon your skill level, but you can keep it simple, right? You can just do. Sorry. You know, just mess around with it. Mess up around with the improv component, okay? So besides that, your right hand, just to leave things off, your right hand's looking to comp in the space. Obviously, when you're using more of a two feel, your right hand's staying sparse, it's staying light, but you do want to have some holds and you want to have a nice balance between short and long, right? If you watch my right hand, if I do all of this, there's no swing to it because my right hand's playing all downbeats, right? Your right hand has to get some short comps in there as well. And as opposed to if I do this, if I play all short comps, it's going to sound weird as well. That sounds strange too. I'm playing all upbeats, all short beats, right? You always, always, always want to have a balance of contrast and textures, right? Between short, long, and your holds, you know, through everything you do, right? So here we go. Here's a nice balance. Oh, sorry. You know, whatever it is, okay? So work in isolating those components alone and, you know, work on each knob, like I was talking about, work on your harmony knob, your note selection knob, your approach note knob, right, which is going to be one of them to move into the different types of harmonies. That alone is going to be difficult for a lot of you, right? If you got that down, start to work, if you're more a medium, intermediate to advanced player, start to work on your other knob, okay, which is going to be your rhythm. So you can start to combine them with different rhythms. You can move all over the place using different types of rhythms. Start to add in your left hand improv lines, right, using your right hand as an anchor. You know, doing different stuff like that. And then finally start to get in some of your right hand comps there. And again, you always want to have that contrast. So the two feel doesn't have to be so exciting like I'm doing. It can be very sparse, right? You can play more of a one feel. Light. You know, whatever, sorry. So again, always, always, always go for that balance. Isolate the different components. And again, this is the first texture that I'm going to teach you in the accompanying series. So again, everyone can walk, or I shouldn't say everyone can walk bass, but I want to teach people, and what the Singer Accompanying course teaches people is just to get away from always kicking bass, right? That's only one texture. That's one method of accompanying series. That's one method of how you can actually comp. And for solo piano too, that's one method of kicking your solos, accompanying yourself for solos, right? You know, I can do that. You know, that's just one little way. I mean, there's so many different variations of accompanying yourself, accompanying singers that I'm going to get into. I'm going to get into the switch, right? So you have all these different types of movements, rhythms, voicings, harmonies working for you while you're comping. So again, that two feel is just the first part of it. Then you got the different types of switch. You got the one single measure switch. You got the in measure switch I'm going to be talking about. And again, all of this stuff, all the practice exercises is thoroughly detailed and structured in the how to accompany singers for all different types of tunes as well. So again, go to jazzpianoschool.com/singers. to get on that release date and launch date list so you can get more information about that. But hopefully that was helpful for you guys. This is just a completely a whole new system that I'm bringing to the game, and hopefully you guys enjoy it because it can definitely lead to really, really great things in your playing when you are playing with singers. All right. So with that being said, I hope you guys have a wonderful day, and I will see you in the next podcast lesson, and happy practicing.